The sixth parak of Pirkei Avos begins with a teaching from Rabbi Meir. Again, you don't have it in front of you. Rabbi Meir Omer. Kol osik b'torah l'shma zocha l'dvarim harbe. Anyone who studies Torah l'shma is zocha to many things. And then the Mishnah goes on, it says, v'lo od, and not only that, here's a whole list of things that we say about a person who studies Torah l'shma. The Chazon Ish spoke about this dvarim harbe, the secret of dvarim harbe. Because again, the Dvarim Harbe is not what comes afterwards. There's some type of introduction that a person who learns Torah Lishma is zocha to all sorts of things which we can't even put in print. Additionally, there's many other great character traits and great privileges that the person who studies Torah Lishma has. So I want to talk about the first one. We'll explore the first one. The first one, Velo Od, again, in addition to these Dvarim Harbe, the many things that one gets for studying Torah Lishma, but in terms of the list that the Mishnah brings at the beginning of the sixth parak, v'lo od, elishakol ha'olam kulo, kedai hulo. A person who learns Torah lishma, kol ha'olam kulo, kedai hulo. I want to think about what that means. A person who learns Torah lishma, the whole world is kedai hulo. The whole world is fitting for him. What does that mean exactly? So if you look at Rashi in Pirkei Avos, again, you still don't have it on the page in front of you. We'll get there shortly. Rashi in Pirkei Avos says, Kedai Hulo means Shenivra Bishvilo. That if you learn Torah Lishma, then the whole world was created for you. Hashem says, for the person who's able to achieve Torah Lishma, I made France, and I made Australia, and I made New Jersey, and of course I made Yerushalayim. The whole world is yours. For that one individual who studies Torah Lishma, it was worth it for Hashem to create the entire universe. That's what it means, Kedai Hulo. The world is yours. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. For the person who learns Torah Lashma. That's how Rashi understands this Mishnah. But if you look in the writings of Rav Chaim of Elazhin, in the Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, I know it's okay. Yisurim Shal Ahava. I'm making it hard on purpose. It'll make us stronger. I'm sorry. Any more source sheets? There are a couple left? Okay. So it says Rav Chaim of Elazhin, what does it mean? We're learning the first Mishnah in the sixth parak. What does it mean that a person who studies Torah Lashma, Kola Olam Kulo, Kedai Hulo. So Rav Chaim V'lajner says what you would expect Rav Chaim V'lajner to say. Because if you've ever learned the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim from Rav Chaim V'lajner, his magnum opus on many topics, the fourth section is about Talmud Torah, is about learning Torah. And it's there in the fourth section of the Nefesh HaChaim that Rav Chaim V'lajner gives maybe his most famous statement, which is the following. That if there would be a single second that someone on planet Earth was not studying Torah, the world would immediately revert to tohu vavohu. The world would cease to exist. Torah is the life force, is the energy of the world. You have to stop and think about this. A couple days before Shavuos, without Torah, the world could not exist. It takes one Jew to be sitting and learning one little bit of Torah to keep the world spinning. But if a single Jew is not studying, is not involved in Torah, the world would immediately revert to tohu vavohu. So knowing that Rav Chaim V'lajner says such a thing in the Nefesh HaChaim in Shar Dalet, he has it in two places, in Perek Yud Aleph and again in Perek Chaf Hei. He elaborates on that idea. So it's not surprising what he writes here in Ruach Chaim, his parish on Pirkei Avos. What does it mean, a person who learns Torah Lishma, kol ha'olam kulo, kedai hulo? Not like Rashi said. Again, according to Rashi, kedai hulo means the world is his. Right? It was worth it to create the world for this individual. Chaim V'lajner says, no, it's more than that. Kedai hulo, the whole world exists because of him. Right? It's not just that he's doing something that's so meaningful, that Hashem says, I give you the world to enjoy. It's that your act is keeping the world in existence. The whole world is kedai hulo, bishvilo. The world is, it continues to exist because of him. The world could not exist if not for him. Listen to the words of Rav Chaim of Elazhin. And this is the last thing I'll read tonight that's not on the page in front of you. Rav Chaim of Elazhin says, Ki im rega achas hayin nifsak midivrei Torah mikol ha'olam, if for a single second there would be no one on planet Earth who was osek and guarding the Torah, involved in Torah and guarding the Torah, the world would very simply revert to absolute nothingness. And it wouldn't be this gradual process of the world collapsing. In a second, the world, tohu vavohu, would cease to exist entirely if there would not be Torah that gives chiyas to the world. And he goes on and he explains, because the life of the world, the energy of the world, is only as good as the people who cling to the Torah's emes, which gives existence to the world. And through Torah, there's Chaya Olam, the world can exist. It could be that in the moment that you're sitting and learning Torah, even if you know that someone's sitting next to you also learning Torah, but close your eyes for a minute. At some point on Shavuos, and say the Torah that I'm learning is significant enough to keep the entire world, 7.5 billion people alive. To keep every bird flapping his wings in the sky. To keep every fish at the bottom of the ocean swimming in the depths of the ocean. It could be that there's no one in the world besides me, and what I'm doing now is significant enough, sitting here learning this pasuk with Rashi, learning this daf of Gemara, whatever it is that I'm learning, it's enough to keep the whole world spinning. V'im kein hu mekayim olam umalawa. And says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that's what it means. That a person who studies Torah Lishma, the first thing on the list is what? Shekol ha'olam kulo kadai hu lo. The world exists because of such an individual. Think about the great thing that we do for all of humanity, for all of existence, every time we sit and learn Torah. So now I want to look at a halacha in Hilchos Birchas HaTorah, which I think speaks to the same idea. Okay, and now we look at source number one. What's the halacha with regard to reciting Birchas HaTorah? When does a person say Birchas HaTorah? What type of Torah does one need to learn in order to warrant a Birchas HaTorah? And the Shulchan Aruch begins by saying a person needs to be very careful to recite Birchas HaTorah. Clearly a reference to the Gemara in the Nedarim Daf Pei Aleph, that one of the reasons for the Chorban was Shalom Birchu B'Torah Tchila, which very simply means they didn't recite Birchas HaTorah, whatever exactly that was about. Right? But we see that Birchas HaTorah is a big deal. So how do you say Birchas HaTorah? When do you say Birchas HaTorah? Why do you say Birchas HaTorah? It's very important to know these halachos well. The Shulchan Aruch says you say Birchas HaTorah when you learn Mikra, when you learn Psukim, when you learn Mishnah, when you learn Gemara. Rav Moshe Isserles adds, when you learn Medrash, you also say Birchas HaTorah. Okay, so those are the types of Torah that get Birchas HaTorah. What about the way in which I'm learning? The optimal way to learn Torah is to enunciate the words that I'm saying. So what if I just want to write Torah? I wake up in the morning and I would like to write down Torah ideas. I don't plan on saying any words of Torah. I'm simply writing words of Torah. Does one say Birchas HaTorah for writing words of Torah? The Shulchan Aruch is clear in source number one. Hakosev b'divrei Torah, af al pi she'eino korei tzarach levarich. A person who writes words of Torah, even without saying a word, needs to recite Birchas HaTorah. Okay. The reason it's a perplexing halacha is because you look at the very next se'if in source number two, the Shulchan Aruch says, Hamaharher b'divrei Torah, one who thinks words of Torah, if you wake up in the morning and say, I'm just going to think about the Torah, one does not recite a Birchas HaTorah. Now that's a very controversial psak. The Bir Halacha, the Chavetz Chaim over there in the Bir Halacha, quotes from the Vilna Gaon, who strongly argued against the Shulchan Aruch, that even for thinking Torah, v'hagisa boyom v'layla means even meditating upon Torah, thinking Torah, requires Birchas HaTorah. But putting that aside for the moment, let's try to just understand the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, the Shitaso. Why is writing Torah warrant the Birchas HaTorah, and thinking Torah does not warrant the Birchas HaTorah? We all agree that saying Torah is the best. So why this distinction between if I write Torah, then I make Birchas HaTorah? If I just think about Torah, that's not enough to say Birchas HaTorah. Why should that be? Why is ksiva, why is writing different? So the Mishnah Berurah in source number three gives two answers. The Mishnah Berurah says, possibility number one, it could be that the difference between thinking and writing is at least when you write, you're doing a maisa. You're doing an action. If we were to divide up the domains, the various domains of man's interaction with the world, right? So there's thinking, and there's speaking, and then there's doing. There's machshava, there's dibor, and there's maisa. So machshava, when I just think Torah, that's not tangible enough to require Birchas HaTorah. When I speak words of Torah, that's the ideal way to use your mouth, and that for sure gets a Birchas HaTorah. When I write Torah, when I'm using the body for a maisa, when I'm doing a maisa in action, so that's also enough. That's the distinction between thinking Torah, there's no action, versus writing would be considered an action. So that's maybe one possibility, says the Mishnah Berurah. A second possibility, it could be that when I'm writing words of Torah, I'll come to say words of Torah. Okay, a very practical consideration. Mishnah Berurah says in source number three, at the end of the line, V'yesh omrim, d'derech ha'kosev lahotzi tevas mipiv b'shas ha'ksiva. It's the way of one who's writing, to even under one's breath, to recite words as one's writing. So it could be as a precaution, lest you might come to say words of Torah, so therefore say Birchas HaTorah, because chances are you will end up saying words of Torah. That's the Mishnah Berurah. But I want to share with you an approach that fits the theme that we started with. That when a person learns Torah, you're not only doing a great thing for yourself, you're doing a great thing for the whole world. And I want to think about the outward expression of Torah. how Jews who study Torah have to be focused, and on Shavuos especially, to be metakin the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, who were selfish about their Torah. We have to remind ourselves that the essence of learning Torah is learning it with a friend, is learning it with someone else, is sharing an idea of Torah with someone else. And that might be the answer to this mystery, the difference between Ksiva and Hirhor. How does the Rambam define the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? What is the mitzvah of learning Torah? What is the mitzvah of learning Torah? We should be able to answer that question. The Rambam in source number 4, in mitzvah saseh Yud Aleph, positive commandment 11, the Rambam says that the mitzvah is shetzivanu lilmod chachmas haTorah ulalamda. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is learning Torah and teaching Torah. That's part and parcel of the mitzvah of learning Torah, of Talmud Torah, is learning Torah and teaching Torah. V'zehu shenikra Talmud Torah. V'shinantam levanech. In fact, I can make a stronger case for teaching Torah than I can even for learning Torah. It's easier to find psukim in the Torah that speak about sharing Torah with someone else, whether it's your Talmidim, or whether it's with your children. It's easier to find psukim that speak to that idea than it is to find the pasuk that says you should sit and learn Torah by yourself. There's more psukim that talk about sharing it with others. And therefore the Rambam tells us that yes, the essence of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is lilmod ulalamid, to learn it and to teach it. So based on this, and he says the sources, v'shinantam levanecha, it's one of the most basic sources for the study of Torah, to teach it to your children. It doesn't say you should learn it for yourself, although it says v'dibar tabam. Right? But the emphasis of v'shinantam, that it should be sharp, it should be clear, levanecha, in order to transmit it to someone else. So based on this, Rav Soloveitchik explained the following. Again, we have a contradiction, what appears to be a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. On the one hand, you have a halacha that thinking Torah doesn't get birchas haTorah. Writing Torah does get birchas haTorah. What's the difference? So Rav Shechter brings in the Mipnine HaRav, in source number 5, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, in the name of the Rav, he says, Rabbeinu, Rav Soloveitchik explains as follows. Sheledas HaRambam b'minyan haMitzvah shnei chalakim yesh l'mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Like we just learned, Talmud Torah has two components, learning and teaching. Lilmod ulalamid. So let's think about this. When I'm just thinking words of Torah, that's a very selfish way to learn Torah. You know why? Because no one can gain from that. No one can learn from my thoughts. Unless someone's a Baal Ruach HaKodesh and they can read your mind. Right? That's pretty cool. But then they probably don't need your help to learn Torah. They're holding by that already. They're probably good on their own. Right? But for the average person, if you're just sitting and thinking Torah, no one else can gain from that. Everyone else is locked out. If you're writing Torah, at least, someone can read what you wrote down and can learn from it. They can read your notes. They can read your ideas. So says Rav Soloveitchik, when a person learns Al Yidei Hirhor just by thinking, Hare enenu mekayim es mitzvah b'shleimusa, you're not doing the full mitzvah. Because the definition of the full mitzvah is learning and teaching. So you know what? If you're going to be so selfish as to just think Torah, you don't recite Birchas HaTorah. It's almost like a kna, he doesn't say it this way, but it's almost like a penalty for not learning Torah in the optimal way. Sha'arei al yidei hirhor lo nitein lelamed la'acherim, no one else can benefit from it. Ve'ein biyado el ha'kiyo me'echad shel lilmod, it's only a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah, that you're learning Torah, but you're not teaching Torah. B'li ha'kiyo ma'sheni shel lelamed. However, when a person writes down words of Torah, then you're doing the full mitzvah. You're learning in such a way that someone else can gain from that which you're doing. And that's the full mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A Torah that's not able to be shared with others is not a complete Torah. And again, that's something we have to think about on Shavuos. So we've gone 2 steps now. Step number 1 is that any time a Jew learns Torah, in some type of metaphysical way, you're benefiting others. You're benefiting others because every time you learn Torah, you keep the world spinning. And in that sense, you keep the world alive. You prevent the world from going back to tohu vavohu. But now we're going a step further. We're saying, no, it's much deeper than that. It's not just in some broad metaphysical kind of way that you have an opportunity to keep the world going. But every time you learn Torah, Hashem wants you to make sure that your Torah is not only benefiting yourself, that it's benefiting those around you. It's benefiting your family, it's benefiting your community, and it's benefiting anyone who you can share those ideas of Torah with. Because Torah is simply too good not to share it with others. Let's learn one more Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. A Mishnah way back in the second parak, source number 6. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mehil of Hashem. Hu haya Omer Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai would say, "Im lamadta Torah harbe al tachzik tova la'atzmacha ki lakach notzarta." If you learn a lot of Torah, so don't pat yourself on the back. Al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't think that you did such a great thing. You know why? Ki lakach notzarta. Because basically, you learned a lot of Torah Shkayach, you did your job. That's what you were created to do. What did you think you were created to do? What did people think that they were sent to this world to do, if not to be involved in Torah? So if you learn a lot of Torah and you think you're a big shot, you were so successful, it's a lesson in humility. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is teaching us a lesson in humility. Don't walk around feeling you're so proud. Do you feel so proud of the fact that you breathe air, that you eat food, that you sleep, that you use the restroom? That's part of being alive. So when a person learns Torah, that's what you were created for. Nothing to be overly proud of. It shouldn't go to your head, your achievements in Torah. It's a harsh lesson in humility from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But if you look in the Medrash Shmuel, in source number 7, has a beautiful interpretation of this Mishnah, a very different interpretation. In Lamanta Torah Harbe, anyone who's learned Torah, every single person in this room, we all know that the more you learn Torah, the more you fall in love with Torah. And the less you learn Torah, right, the less you feel connected to Torah. It's an acquired taste. It's not easy to learn Torah. When a person first starts to learn Torah, it can be a very difficult process to learn Torah. But the more that a person immerses himself or herself in the process of studying Torah, the sweeter it becomes. The more the Torah presents itself to you. Later in that Mishnah that we were listing, the milos of, again, the person who learns Torah Lishma, one of the milos of a person who learns Torah Lishma is that it turns you into a ma'ayan ha-misgaber. You become a ma'ayan ha-misgaber. It's like a raging river. Right? And your enthusiasm for Torah just grows and grows and grows. You look at the Tiferes Yisrael over there, his beautiful words. He says, the Mishnah talks about a mayan and a nahar. The water from a mayan is very sweet, it's very crisp and very clean. He says, but it's not as abundant as a nahar. A nahar, the water is less tasty, but it's more abundant. So the Mishnah says, if you learn Torah Lishma, you become both a mayan and a nahar. You become so sweet as a person. You're such a sweet Jew, and your Torah becomes so sweet, and it becomes abundant. That's an indication of someone who learns Torah Lishma. The Torah itself becomes sweet, and it becomes abundant. So if you learn a lot of Torah, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says the Medrash Shmuel's interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, im lamata Torah harbe, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't keep that goodness for yourself, share it with others. Such a beautiful var. Look what he writes in source number 7. Al tachzik tova shehi ha-Torah la'atzmacha. Don't keep that Torah for yourself. It's too good to not share it with someone else. You're a beautiful insight. You're a beautiful drasha. You're a beautiful, beautiful story about a tzaddik. Right? You learn a new idea in Torah. There should be an instantaneous desire to want. Who can I share this with? Who would enjoy this idea in Torah? Al tachzik tov alatzmecha. The Torah is called tov. It's actually a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ein tov ala Torah. The word tov is a code word for Torah. It's Gemara in Brachos and Daf Hey, Mishnah in Avos. Im lamata Torah harbe al tachzik tova. Don't hold on to the Torah which itself is so tov. Don't keep it for yourself. Share it with someone else. It's too good to hold on to it just for yourself. So what do we do with the ki lekach notzarta? I always wondered with this Medrash Shmuel. Right, so what's the end? What's the ki lekach notzarta? What's the ki lekach notzarta? Because for this you were created, to share it with others, that's what you were created to do? Could be. So let's try to flesh that idea out for a second. Why did Hashem create the world? What's the basic svara as to why Hashem created the world? Even though we know, you look in Sefer Kabbalah, Ein Tam L'Ratzon, that it was a Ratzon, it was a desire of Hashem to create the world. We can't attach an explanation to it per se. There's no real reason why God does what He does. But if you look in works of Jewish philosophy, the classic explanation, whether it's the Ramchal or whether it's Sefer Chabad, you find the explanation that it's the nature of one who is Tov to want to share that goodness with others. It's the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Derech HaTov Lehetiv, in the language of the Ramchal, whose yard site was this past week. In the language of the Ramchal, it's the Derech HaTov, it's the nature of one who is essentially good, namely God Himself, Lehetiv, to share that with others, to want to share that goodness with someone else. So I think you could say the pshat like this. Im lamata Torah harbe, if you learn a lot of Torah, al tachzik tov la'atzmecha. Don't be the type of person who holds on to Tov. Because think about how you were created. How were you created? Why did Hashem create you? Because Hashem was Tov, and Hashem wanted to share that Tov with someone else, with you. That's why Hashem created the world. And so too, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first thing we ever heard from God, which the Gemara in Shabbos says, Anochi stands for Ana Nafshi, I took myself, and I, Ksivas Yehovas, and I wrote myself down. I transmitted myself to you in written form. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, be like me. The same way I'm so good and I want to share my goodness, and that's why I created the world. Ki lakach no tzarta, that's why you even exist. So too, when you are involved in Tov, in Tov el Torah, when you have a kesher to Torah and you have a connection to Torah, so then remind yourself, ki lakach no tzarta. Hashem, who's very good, shared that goodness with you. So now you've got Torah, which is Tov, share it with someone else. Don't be selfish, don't keep it for yourself. Understand that this is a team effort, that Klal Yisrael are working together to bring Kvod Shemayim, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence into this world. And it's not just about amassing schar for myself, or connecting, or amassing ideas for myself. It's about making sure that as many Jews as possible have a connection to Torah. And that's truly an expression of one's love for Torah. If you love something, how could you not share it with someone else? If I learn Torah because I have to learn Torah, because I'm supposed to learn Torah, so I may not be so eager to share it with someone else. But if it's something that I genuinely connect with, and I'm deeply excited about, so of course I'm going to share it with someone else. And again, that's why this is an expression of what? Of a person who learns Torah Lishma. If I'm not learning Torah Lishma, then I may not be running to share it with someone else. I may not be interested in recognizing that it's Kedai Hulo, that the whole world is Kedai Hulo, that I should want to share it with everyone I know. That's a sign of Torah Lishma. It's a sign of real Avas Torah and Avas Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a lot of Svar. Everyone knows the Chafetz Chaim wrote Sefer Chafetz Chaim, wrote Shmir HaLashon, wrote the Mishnah Berurah. Chafetz Chaim wrote Avas Chesed. But the Chafetz Chaim wrote many other smaller works, smaller svarim. One of them is called Chomas Hadas, which in English translates as the fortress of faith. Right? The wall, the fortress of dat, of religion, of faith. And in the Hagdamah of the Sefer, the Chafetz Chaim makes this point. When you love something, how could you not share it with someone else? Take an example, a simple example from something much more Olam Hazeh, you know, much more Olam Hazedik. You hear a song and it's a beautiful song and you want to share that music with someone else. I love this band, I love this song, right? I want to share it with someone else. Or I see a beautiful work of art, right? So I want someone else to see that so I can talk to them about it, so I can connect over that. It's so beautiful, right? And it means so much to me that I want to share it with you. It's a natural expression of true Ahava. So the Chafetz Chaim writes at the beginning of the Chomas Hadas in the Hakdama, Ksiv B'Tor, in source number 8, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, love Hashem. What does it mean to love Hashem? Part of loving Hashem is bringing others to love Hashem. Kosef HaRambam B'Sefer HaMitzvos, that included in this mitzvah, Shezos HaMitzvah Gamkein Koleles, Shineakorim Livnei Odom Kulam Lavudosu Yisalu Lahamin Bo. If you really love Hashem and you really believe in Him, so why would you not want to share that with someone else? Why would you not want to spread the word? Get the word out. Hashem, if you really think Hashem is so awesome, so tell people about that. Let people know. The Rambam says that is part of the mitzvah of loving Hashem, bringing others to love Hashem. And that was what Avram Avinu did. Avram Avinu, whose midah is Ahava and Chesed, wanted so badly to share it with everyone else. And he quotes the Sifri at the end of paragraph 8, source number 8, Lashon Sifrei, he quotes the Medrash on Vahavtas Hashem, Ohaveyu al habrios ka Avraham avicha. Part of loving God is bringing others to love God. The way that Avram chased after the whole world to try to get people to love, to try to get other people to love what they loved, to invest in others. I'll tell you a story the Chafetz Chaim used to tell. It's an unbelievable story. The Chafetz Chaim told this story how one time the famous Dubna Magid in the late 1700s was walking down the street, Rav Yaakov Krantz. And he's walking down the street, and all of a sudden he sees, ahead of him, he sees this Jewish boy, this young Jewish boy, and he's walking and he's holding an older gentleman, who appears to be his father, and it's clear that the older fellow is blind. It's also clear from their clothing, from their whole appearance, that they're clearly not well-to-do. They're obviously struggling. This father presumably is not able to work because he's blind. And he looks at this, the Dubna Magid looks at this little boy, and he sees him with his father, and it's so nebuch, and he says, you know what, I have to do something. So he runs over to them and he says to this little boy, he says, you know, can I help you? Who are you? And his father hears that he's talking to him and says, what are you talking? We don't have time to talk. We need to keep going. He says, well, tell me, where are you going? So he said, I'm taking my father to the soup kitchen. It's the one time a day where we get something, you know, half normal to eat. So he says, where do you live? You clearly can't provide for yourself. He says, yeah, we live on the other side of the forest. You know, we have a small little hut over there. It's freezing cold. And we don't really have wood to keep the fires burning. Once a day, we're able to go to get something to eat, you know, to get a charitable handout. But it's very difficult for us. And he sees this boy, Nebuch, this broken child, taking care of his father and can barely take care of himself. And he says, I want you to come live with me. I want to take you in. And the father at first is very stubborn, he's very uncomfortable with it. It's bad enough I have to take a handout from a stranger and I'm going to come to your home. He says, yeah, I want you to come to my home. I want to give you a meal. I promise it'll be at least as good as what you get by the soup kitchen. Come, you come by me, you warm up, I'll give you a change of clothing. He pushes, he prods him, eventually he agrees. And he comes back to his home and he provides for him and the son, and he sees a little chias back in the, you know, in the father and his son, and he says, you know what, I want you to stay by me. What's the way you're going to go back to your little hut, the edge of the outskirts of the woods, freezing cold, you don't have any food, just move in with me. And again, the father's very stubborn, he's not sure. He says, fine, we'll stay here as a temporary measure. Well, a temporary measure went from 1 week to 1 month, to a year, to a second year. And that older gentleman, that father, would take his last breaths of his life in this world, in the home of the Dubna Maggid. And that little boy would grow up in the home of the Dubna Maggid. That he wanted badly to give this kid a chance. He understood he couldn't go to cheder like the other kids. And he felt it's so not fair. Torah is so sweet. How could I allow one Jewish child to lose out on learning Torah? So he brought him into his home. He took care of him. When his father passed away, he took him on as almost his own child. And he provided for him. He sent him to cheder and he got him an education in Torah. And as the boy got a little bit older, he arranged a shidduch for him. And that young man far surpassed anyone's expectations. And he grew and he grew and he grew in his learning, eventually becoming the chief rabbi of Brody, none other than Rav Shlomo Kluger, Hagon Rav Shlomo Kluger. And whenever I mention Rav Shlomo Kluger, I tell the same story. I tell the story of the time I walked into a Sfarim store in Muncie, and I went over to the shelf, and I saw a volume on Chumash Bereishis, a volume on Bereishis from the Chachma Shlomo. They had been printing the beautiful Ksavim, the beautiful Chidushei Torah, Gon Otzim Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote on every area of Torah. So they started printing from some of his unpublished manuscripts, some of his writings on Chumash. And I pick up this volume, 600 or so pages on Bereishis. I said, wow, you know, the whole set's going to, you know, a Bereishis volume, a Shemos volume, a Vayikra volume, a couple thousand pages. I spent my whole life reading this and I would never finish it. And then all of a sudden I looked back at the shelf and I noticed that next to the Bereishis volume was a volume called Noach. That was on Parshas Bereishis. 600 pages of Chidushei Torah on Parshas Bereishis. Noach, Lech Lecha Vayera. I don't know how many they've put out so far, but it's a lot of work. It's a lifetime just to edit it and to publish it, let alone to think of it and to write it. And this was a kid who could have been lost to nothingness. The great Hagon Rav Shlomo Kluger, brought in by someone who said, "Al tachzik tov latzmecha, Torah is too good to keep for myself. I need to share it with someone else." That's part and parcel of Torah Lishma. That's the definition of Talmud Torah according to the Rambam. Lilmod ulalami. It's simply too good to hold on to for yourself. It should pain a person to hold on to Torah for oneself. What's the most unfathomable mitzvah of the Torah? The mitzvah that no one understands, the ultimate chok, paraduma. Paraduma. Sorry for all the chazar. Paraduma. Yeah, paraduma is referred to zos chukas ha-Torah. It doesn't even call it the chukas ha-Parah. It's called the chukas ha-Torah, the ultimate chok. What's the nature of the chok? What's the curiosity of paraduma? The fact that, again, that we don't understand anything about it. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumura, in the last halach in Hilchos Tumura, you don't have it on the page in front of you. Harei amru chachamim harishonim, shehamelech Shlomo haven rov hatamim shakol chukei haTorah. That Shlomo HaMelech understood almost all of even the chukim of the Torah, the unfathomable, the ununderstandable mitzvot of Torah. Right? The chok, those that don't have a rationale, a logic to them, those that are beyond anything that we could wrap our human minds around. Shlomo HaMelech figured out most of them. Which one couldn't Shlomo figure out? What's the Rambam hinting to? There was one that Shlomo couldn't figure out. And Shlomo himself wrote about it in Koheles, in the 7th parak, when he said, "Amarti ech chama v'hi rechoka mimeni." I set out to become so wise, and yet he rechoka mimeni, but it was beyond me. What's the it that was beyond me? What was the one thing that Shlomo HaMelech, according to Chazal, couldn't understand? Paraduma. The ultimate chok. Tzvarim HaKadoshim bring a remez on that pasuk in Koheles, in the 7th parak, "Amarti ech chama." I decided to be wise. V'hi rechoka mimeni. But it was beyond me. The Sfarim say that the gematria of v'hi rechoka, that it was beyond, what's the it that was beyond? V'hi rechoka is gematria 341, which is exactly gematria para aduma. Because para aduma was the thing that he couldn't wrap his head around. Who did understand para aduma? Who understood all 613? The one whose name is gematria 613, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is gematria 613. Because Moshe Rabbeinu even understood Parah Aduma. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu was sworn to secrecy. So you'll say, okay, that's pretty cool. You have this, you know, special kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just you and God know the secret of Parah Aduma. But for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was nothing like that. If you look in the Targum Onkelis, on the words Zos Chukas HaTorah that introduced Parah Aduma, says Onkelis in source number 10, Da Gezeiras Oraisa. This is the Gezeira, this is the decree of the Torah. The Chassam Sofer says the decree, Gezeira. I mean, when we use the word Gezeira, you know, it's usually like around Tisha B'Av time. We talk about Gezeros. Gezeros of Tach V'Tat. Gezeira has a very negative connotation to it. Gezeira usually means there's a Gezeira against, right? If I told you, there's a Gezeira against the Jewish community, right? So you wouldn't say that. That means that they're, you know, they're giving tax rebates for everyone who pays too much money in Tinek or whatever, for the taxes on their home, right? Gezeira usually means something bad's about to happen. So what's Dog Gezeira Soraisa? This is a bad decree. What's so bad about Parah Aduma? Zos Chukas HaTorah. It's Gevaldik. It's a very mysterious and wondrous process of Tara. It's a good thing. What's the Chok? So the Chassam Sofer says, yes. He quotes a Magen Avraham that, yes, the word Gezeira always implies something negative. And you know it was negative. You know it's negative about Zos Chukas HaTorah. What does the pasuk say? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron lemor zos chukas haTorah. Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aaron and said, "This is the chok of the Torah." Meaning what? I'm going to tell you what it's about, but I'm going to swear you to secrecy. And for Moshe, that was a painful thing. Maybe Aaron also knew a little bit about it. So it's implied by the pasuk. Not sure. I'm not sure what Chazal say about Aaron's knowledge of Parah Aduma. But Moshe for sure knew the secret, and it was a gezeira. It pained him. I have such a deep, beautiful mitzvah that only I understand, that I want so badly to share with someone else. That was painful for Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's, again, that's how each and every one of us should feel. If I'm really connected to Torah, how could I not reach out to someone else? How could I not want to share that Torah that I have with someone else? And lamad the Torah harbe. The more I learn, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't hold on to it for yourself. Ki lekach tzarti, because a Jew is created to share that Torah with others. Let's come back to that statement of Yochanan ben Zakkai one more time. We know the Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah of all. We say it every day, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. It's the ultimate mitzvah, it's compared to all the other mitzvahs combined. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says very clearly, explaining a pasuk in Iyov, that the essence of what it means to be a Jew is to learn Torah. Says the pasuk in Iyov in Parakei, ki adam la'amal yulad. Man was created la'amal, to work. Man was created to work. Okay, well, there's a lot of things I can work at. Right, I could work out lifting weights and have big muscles. I could work to make a lot of money. I could work to cure cancer. I could work to learn Torah. What's the ultimate work? Or what's the most essential work that a Jew does in this world? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin in source number 12, Amr Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam La'amal Nivra. Man was created to work. Quotes the Pasuk, Ki Adam La'amal Yulad. Ein Yodei Im La'amal Pen Nivra Im La'amal Malacha Nivra. Am I meant to work with my body or am I meant to work with my speech? And again, speech could also be a lot of things. It could be Torah, it could be tefillah, it could be words of kindness and chesed, words of encouragement to my fellow Jew, working on not speaking Lashon Hara. So what is it? Am I supposed to work with my body or work with my mouth? Says the Gemara, Kishu Omer ki akaf alav pihu. When the Pasuk says, ki akaf alav pihu, apparently I'm supposed to work with my mouth. Okay, but I still don't know what that means. Says the Gemara, v'adayin eini yodeh im la'amal Torah im la'amal sicha. Am I supposed to work in speaking words of Torah? Or am I supposed to just speak in general? Because that's what makes me a human being. That's what separates me from animals, the fact that I can speak. So maybe every time I speak, maybe that's a Kiddush Hashem. I show that, wow, I'm a human. I'm not an animal. Maybe it doesn't have to be words of Torah per se. Concludes the Gemara, Kishu Omer lo yamush sefer haTorah zemi picha. The Gemara resolves the question that we probably could have guessed where that answer was going. Right? That of course, no, your mouth is meant to be used for what? Have a omer la'amal Torah nivra. Man was created to be amal b'torah. Amelus b'torah. Okay. But we come back once again to the Rambam. What's the definition of Torah? And the definition of Torah is what? Is learning and teaching Torah. It's not meant to be a selfish sport. It's not meant to be something that you take for yourself and you don't share with others. Says the Kuznetzer Magid. Yes, adam la'amal yulad. But what does amal mean? What does it mean, adam la'amal yulad? It says the Kuznetzer Magid in source 13. V'zeh Rama zekas of adam la'amal yulad. He says, la'amal is Rashi Tevo, stands for lilmod al menas lelamid. Lamid ayin mem lamid, la'amal. Lilmod al menas lelamid. Every time I learn, it should be to share it with someone else. That's what I'm created to do. That's how we build the world. That's how we move Geula forward. That's how we achieve true Talmud Torah. And again, it's a reminder of our very purpose in this world, like we started with. A person who learns Torah Lishma, the whole world is Kedahu Lo, that you sustain the world. Don't be the type of person who sits by himself or herself and sustains the world just through your own energy of Torah, which is also true, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner told us. But be the type of person who goes out to the world and teaches Torah to others. I have this chus of teaching Torah in a professional setting. I get paid to teach Torah. That's my job. That's my 9-to-5 job. Sometimes a little more than 9-to-5. Okay, no one works 9-to-5 in the world today. So who am I kidding? But every person has to be a teacher of Torah. Every person has to teach Torah. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked in the Igros Moshe, in the Eben Ezra Chelek Dalid Simen Chavav, how much time does a person need to give to teaching others? Is there a set amount? When it comes to tzedakah, we sometimes give recommendations or guidance how much one should give. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, yes, God forbid a person only wants to set aside time for my own learning. Kovei itim latorah means Torah to teach and Torah to learn. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in Source 14, I believe that a person is obligated to give of his time for teaching others, and it's certainly not bittul Torah. In fact, it's a big mitzvah. He quotes the Gemara in Erev and Daf Nun Dalid. A Rebbe prayed that would sit and teach that student over and over and over and over again, 400 times, until he would understand it. Clearly, that was taking up a lot of his time, and yet he felt, that's what I have to do. That's what I'm created to do, to teach Torah to others. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein paskins, in the second to the last line where it's bolded, umistaber li, shugam kein shir meiser. Just like a person gives meiser from his money, just like there's a recommendation, it's a very chashuv minhag, it's not a halacha per se, but it's a very well-solidified minhag to give meiser from one's earnings, from one's financial earnings, from one's money. So too, a person should give a tenth of their time, should be dedicated to being mechazik others in Lima Torah. Asiras hazman sheyesh lo Lima Torah, you should take a tenth of your time to teach Torah to others. He says, I'm not sure if that number is precise. Maybe you can give a little bit more. Tzarech iyun as far as the shir, but the bottom line is, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, every single Jew has to think of himself or herself as a teacher of Torah. That's true whether you're a professional teacher of Torah. That's true whether you have children yet to teach Torah to. You have to be looking to share words of Torah with others. Al tachzik tov l'atzmacha. And it's really part of the broader umbrella of just trying to help Jews to be better Jews. It's not only that you should teach them Torah ideas, they should learn Torah. You should teach them how to live a life of a Jew. And that's a very important thing, again, to think about on Shavuos. On Shavuos, we weren't just mekabel Talmud Torah. We were mekabel kol Torah kula, all the mitzvahs of Torah. Which means that if I'm going to re-accept the Torah in a couple of days from now, I need to think that part of my obligation of accepting the Torah is accepting to share it with others. The Minchas Chinuch, when he writes about the mitzvah of Tochacha, of rebuking our fellow Jews, he says, in addition to the mitzvah saseh, of offering words of rebuke to someone who needs them, there's also a mitzvah lo saseh, of al ta'amod, or lo sa'amod al dam re'echa, don't stand by idly by your friend's blood. If God forbid someone's drowning, so you save them. If someone loses their wallet, you return it to them. There are many mitzvahs of the Torah that tell me how to provide physically for my fellow Jew. So says the Minchas Chinuch, so while achas kama v'kama, I have to provide spiritually for my fellow Jew. If there are very detailed halachos about Hashavas Aveda, if there are very detailed halachos about al tamar al dam re'echa, how I need to get involved to save someone's life, if God forbid they're in danger, and to spend my money to help them. So all the more so, I have to be prepared to what? To invest in them spiritually. Al achas kama v'kama, says the Minchas Chinuch, where it's bolded in Source 15. Al achas kama v'kama, dim yochol latzilo min ha'avera. If you can help a Jew to be a better Jew, duhu avedas nafsho v'gufo. If I have to return your lost pencil, then you better believe I have to return your lost soul. I have to help you to find yourself. Avedas nafsho v'gufo, rachmana litzlan. Bevadei chayev lachziro lamuta v'latzilo. Then for sure, there's no doubt in my mind, says the Minchas Chinuch, that a person needs to put time and energy and effort into helping a person to come back to where he's supposed to be. This is really the essence of the mitzvah v'ahavta l'rech kamocha. V'ahavta l'rech kamocha, we all know the words of the Ramban. The Ramban says v'ahavta l'rech kamocha doesn't mean that I have to truly treat my friend like myself, but I have to want them to have the things that I have. That's true in Gashmias. So if I'm able to afford a nice home, I want my friend to have a nice home. And if I'm able to find a nice spouse, I want my friend to have a nice spouse. And I want my friend to have wonderful children. And I want everything that I have for myself, I want my neighbor, my friend, to have the same. That's v'ahavta l'rech kamocha, according to the Ramban. But But again, using the Minchas Chinuch Yesod, if that's true for physical needs or wants, that I should want my friend to have everything physically that he or she needs, then all the more so, spiritually, I should want my friend to have what he or she needs. And that's sometimes even harder. Because sometimes I want to have a bigger chelik in Olam Haba. It's one thing, it's bad enough to have, you know, equal pleasure in this world as my neighbor. But in the next world, for eternity, I want to be a little bit ahead. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we become selfish in that way. And therefore, V'ahavta l'rech kamocha tells me that I also have to want the best spiritual life for my friend. In Source 17, in the Avos Shalom, Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Kosov, final source, he says, V'ahavta l'rech kamocha ani Hashem, da'af shaham mitzvah shal avas Yisrael nemra al kol anyan. Of course, loving our fellow Jews applies to everything. I want to love my fellow Jew in every single way that's possible. Isn't that interesting? The hardest part of loving a fellow Jew is that I like to be a little frummer than my fellow Jew. I like to be a little better in that way. I like to be a little wiser in Torah than my fellow Jew. Because I know that at the end of the day, you know, you might drive a nicer car, have a bigger house, but I know at the end of the day it really comes down to Torah and mitzvahs. So I know if I have a little bit of an edge over you in that, then I'm better than you. And I don't want to lose my competitive edge. It's foolish, it's irrational, it's selfish, but that's sometimes how we feel. Because, says from Nachum Mendel of Kosov, certainly everyone would be willing to want that his friend should have as much money as he does, and to have children as wonderful, and to have health like he does. Sometimes that takes a little bit of work. But one of the hardest battles that a Jew fights in this world is what? La'ahov es chavero lirtzos she'ahoved Hashem v'tamen chacham kamal. That I want your Shmona Esrei to be as long as mine, and I want your Midos Tovos to be just as fine as mine. And people say nice things about, you know, my friend, just like they say about me. And I want my friend to be as knowledgeable in Torah and mitzvot as I am. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. To want for your friend to have that same stature in Avodas Hashem that you have. He says, "Zehu me'avodos hakashos v'yoser." This can sometimes be one of the hardest things, but again, that's what V'ahavta l'rech kamocha demands of us—to want spiritual success for others, the way that Moshe, who saw it as a gezeira that he couldn't keep, parah aduma for himself, it was a penalty, it was a punishment for him, it was hard for him. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Bamidbar Perek Yud Aleph, "Umi yitin kol ha'am Hashem neviim." Halavai, everyone should be a navi like me, right? Ah, the Torah says, "Lo kam b'Yisrael kamoshe." Moshe says, "I wish everyone could be a navi like me." Why do I want to have Torah that someone else doesn't have? So maybe we could say a new pshat, l'chavad shvuas. Maybe we could say a new pshat in the phrase Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, how do we normally interpret it? Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam means Talmud Torah, that learning Torah is Keneged Kulam, it's the ultimate mitzvah. It compares to all other mitzvahs. But maybe we could say, no, the Rambam's definition. What is Talmud Torah? What is real Talmud Torah? It's with Keneged Kulam. When I'm keneged kulam, when I'm opposite everyone else, when I'm not sitting by myself, but when I'm facing someone else and I'm sharing that Torah with someone else, that's Talmud Torah, that's real Talmud Torah. Keneged kulam. That I have a sense of mission towards the entire world. By everything in the Mishkan, it tells us exactly what the Mishkan, what that item in the Mishkan was used for, and how it was used. It says, Vayitein es ha-shulchan. It says, Vayasem es ha-menorah. It tells us how it was made and how it was placed. When it comes to the Aron, it's a little bit different. Vayikach, vayitain, es ha'edos el ha'aron. Vayikach, vayitain. They took and they gave the edos, the luchos ha'edos, they put it into the aron. It says of Moshe Midner, who was a mashkiach in the Slanim Yeshiva called Torah Chesed. This is quoted in the third volume of Marbitze Torah, Me'olam HaChasidus. He says, why by the aron does it say vayikach, vayitain? He says, because when it comes to the menorah, and when it comes to the Shulchan, it's enough that it's one-dimensional. But by Torah, it's always vayikach vayitain. Whatever amount of Torah you're taking for yourself, vayitain, you have to be giving it to someone else. And therefore, vayikach vayitain as ha'edus el ha'aron. My brother always says, we call the Yom Tov Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. We don't call it Kabbalah Satara in the davening. It's Matan Torah Seinu. It's the time that Torah was given. Because as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us for reminding ourselves, we have to give it to others as well. We have to share the Torah that we learn with others. So I'll just leave you with a story. It's a famous story. I'm sure some of us have heard it before, but if you haven't, it's a beautiful story. In 1907, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, spent the Shabbos in Würzburg, Germany. And he was there with a whole group of Hasidim, And the davening was very, very long by the Rebbe Rashab. He was davening for hours and hours and hours. The Chassidim finished up their davening, and they're sitting around, and they're having Kiddush, making a few l'chaims. Finally, the Rebbe Rashab finished his davening, and the Rebbe sat down with them to a Shabbos meal, to a Suzas Shabbos. And all of a sudden, one of the Chassidim, a Chassid by the name of Yosef Yuzakarowitz, he turned to his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, what is a Chassid? What is a Chassid? What's the definition of a Chassid? The Rebbe Rashab said, a chassid is a lamplighter. A chassid is a lamplighter. Like the lamplighter goes down the street and he's got his pole, and right in the good old days, and he would light up the streets to make sure that people could find their way at night. If the flame is lit, then people can function. If that lamplighter doesn't do his job, then people struggle to make their way down the street. A chassid is a lamplighter who goes from lamp to lamp trying to kindle the souls of Jewish people. So this chassid turned to him and he said, and what if the lamp is in a desert? What if the lamp is in a desert? You have an achrayis to go. Does a lamplighter, a chassid is a lamplighter, does he have an achrayis to go to the desert? The Rebbe said yes. So then a person goes to the desert. Then go out into the wilderness and light that lamp. If you know there's such a lamp that's in the desert, the desolation of the desert also deserves some visibility, deserves some light. So yes, a chassid, a true chassid, will go into the desert to light that lamp. So the chassid said, and what if the lamp's at the bottom of the ocean? What if the lamp is somewhere beneath the sea? Does a true chassid have to go there as well? And he said, yes, if the lamp is at the bottom of the ocean, you have to dive down to the depths of the ocean to somehow kindle that lamp. So Mr. Yosef Yuzak said to him, Rebbe, this is what a chassid is. And he said, yes. The Rebbe paused and he stroked his beard and he said, yes. He said, this is what a chassid is. A chassid is a person who takes the Torah and shares it with others. Who takes everything that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to transmit to us on Zman Matan Torah Seinu and gives it to someone else. So Mir Hashem, we should all be zocha to remember again this unbelievable teaching that begins the sixth and final parak of Pirkei Avos that we'll learn this Shabbos. That a person who learns Torah Lishma, the whole world is Kedai Hulo. The whole world is Kedai Hulo. Remember our Vart in Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. That if you're really learning Torah, it's Keneged Kulam. You're sharing it with everyone and anyone that you have the ability to share it with. And Amir Tashem, we should kindle all the lamps this Shruas and Bizocha to the Gula Shlema, Bimhera B'Yameinu.